Hey, good morning, Winter Park. You just tuned in to Punkonomics here on WPRK, Winter Park, Florida, the voice of Rollins College, and of course, the best in basement radio. And the host of our show, Dr. Benny Balick.
Good morning.
And I am Tiberius Stark, the new co-host. And today, we had a couple guests bail out on us. I guess they're afraid.
No, just a...
Are they? No.
One who shall go nameless is oh, no, that's
no,
right.
Well, he
deserves a little, like, you know, twist.
I know. That's okay, yeah.
Maybe he'll just show up and say, oh, yeah, I'm coming.
You know? Exactly.
Oh, otherwise, we have, like, perfectly reasonable cancellations. People have things they need to do, so you're stuck with us, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and also, there's a few other people that I'd like to see here. Dr. Joe Suri. The invitation is open. I saw you the other day.
Ah.
I wasn't joking, so please come in. You don't need an invite. As a matter of fact, you just walk in, cruise in. And Dr. Paul Harris.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And my psych professor.
We need to personally invite and re-invite and such.
Yeah, you know, you don't have to bake those wonderful brownies that you make to come in here. We don't take bribes, so just come in and, you know, sit down and...
I've never seen somebody moved so deeply by brownies.
I know. Actually, he makes the best brownies.
Yeah, I know. Jesse's been working on trying to get some kind of cook-off thing going, I think, you know? Yeah. We take it as a compliment.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, we should do
like a
charity type thing, you know, a competition, you know, to help cats who are being poisoned by... these corporations. I just got this letter, folks. I'm a cat person, and I tend to mess up too. So that wasn't supposed to be part of the show. But anyway, this is early PRK, so you know it is basement radio. But anyway, for those cat people out there, and you know this also pertains to dog people. You know, you guys can hash it out. As far as I'm concerned, I'm basically talking about cat people here.
I personally go both ways.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, well, you know, I kind of heard that too. anyway, folks, I got this letter from one of the food supply stores here in Orlando, a chain all over the place. Anyway, I guess the company that they do business with, which is Natura. Innova. Yes,
never happily for
it's
me.
Supposed
it's
to
not
be,
the one I selected.
But here you go. They claim to be all natural and all that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the letter that I got says that it's possible that the food that they've been selling has salmonella, and of course they're doing a voluntary recall, which, as most people know, well, I'm pretty sure that it is. Is it when anytime. Any company does a voluntary recall of anything is because there's something.
It's a catastrophe.
Yes, absolutely.
Something they can't bury with PR.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing, folks. I mean, you know, I would give my life for my cat. She's everything to me. But, you know, these poor animals are eating this food.
I just want to put a little pushing it. I just took my cat to the vet yesterday with something, but I mean, no, I won't give my life for him.
Oh, you know, and it's so expensive.
Sorry, Kiba.
No, I mean, I basically had about 10 grand saved up that I was going to invest in my education and maybe a car. And all of a sudden, my cat comes out with all these tumors, and the vet basically took all the money.
Wow.
I'm grateful for the vet. However, you know, now my cat is coming back with some more tumors. So I'm kind of depressed, and today I got this letter. So I want to apologize to all you listeners out there for the rant and raving about this. But it's important.
At least share that there's an issue in case people didn't get or they're at the store right now. Don't buy Innova pet food.
Right.
Two ends. Innovate.
Right. And of course, we're not saying not to buy it, but if you want some more information...
Not now, anyway. I mean, we advise that there is a...
Just be careful, you know, what you feed your animals. But I guess for more information, there's this website, petperks.petsmart.com. And I guess...
No, that's just some marketing.
You think so?
Surely. Perks, yeah. It's like loyalty stuff, which they give you some... You know how it is. They give you a little bit of perk.
I'm telling you, all these corporate people... And, you know, in Dr...
self-regulation, you know? This is self-regulation, you know? Which is, of course, you know, one of the biggest jokes ever, you know? I suggest self-regulation for crime. How right. about that? We'll just have, you know, shoplifters somehow by themselves realize that that's not a good thing to do and stop.
Right.
But that when we actually say it with a perfectly straight face when it comes to the people in charge of the quality of our water, our food, our children's life. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We trust them, you know.
Right, right. And that is the problem. Trust no one. I mean,
well, in some sense, this is the world in which we live, you know. There is this whole, individualism, you know, nobody should. In so many ways, they tell us you're all selfish, you only care for yourself. Economists do it all the time, right? Oh, everybody just maximizes their own utility. And essentially, at some point, after several generations of this indoctrination, both from in schools, in the university, you know, in economic departments and others, which we'll try and get to if we don't get carried away, and if not, we'll get back to again and again about economic education. I happen to know something about it and worked hard about with it and getting some recognition for it, finally, I'm happy to say. I mean, you know, beyond the local. So there's a lot to say about this indoctrination, and we're going to touch upon gently, you know, with all of disclaimers, the death of Margaret Thatcher.
But the Iron Lady.
Jump in a little bit. Well, yeah, that's the world she brought.
Right.
That's why she is so hated fundamentally by so many people in America. You know, a lot of people hate Reagan, too, though it's not as open.
She's in good company.
It was similar in many ways, certainly ideologically. But that's it. You know, I mean, you like your job opportunities right now. You like your education system. You like your healthcare system. You know, you like the financial debt situation in which we find ourselves. You like all that. Well, if you do, that's who you have to thank.
Right.
She was the greatest, the first. Ronald Reagan was her junior in this sense, not age-wise. Probably not, actually, I'm pretty sure, though I can't really think of their ages exactly. But in stature, as well as in... And a different model, you know. He was clever, in a sense, of feeding the same substance to the people with a smile and the legendary charm of Ronald Reagan. Well, Maggie had a different attitude that maybe made her a little bit more obviously... She wasn't shy of it. She wasn't pretending in some way.
And before
I forget, I made that comment. I want to say, you know, street parties celebrating her death, people around Britain, many people around Britain singing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead.
Hey, I know I've been celebrating.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I couldn't help. She's marked, you know, in our age. I mean, she marked, grew up in this world of hers, you know, and she was that face of, she was the face.
Hey, guy already knows I celebrated for a whole week when Reagan died.
I must say, okay, you know, just as being.
And I still do the anniversaries, too.
And I want to talk about these issues, you know, this whole thing about, oh, how disgraceful, or is it, or what, and who gets, you get to laugh at their death, and who you don't, and things like that. I want to at least lay it out a little bit, because I think at the very least we're duplicitous, you know?
Right, right.
But I got to say, let's start by saying probably the only good thing I can say about Maggie Thatcher. Or is it Duchess Thatcher? My lady. That... You know what? If there is an afterlife, and she is peering up at us from hell, she's loving it.
Oh, she must be laughing.
She's loving it.
And I'm sure she's...
The parties, she would be there singing with them just for that. So she's kind of... You got to admire her kind of in your face. Yeah, you hate me. I am messing you up. And get used to it.
And she's probably dressed up like a dominatrix, too.
Finally. Right?
Yeah, all dressed up in leather, you know, with a little whip and
actually,
all that.
Actually, it's a little-known secret to what extent she actually, while being such a hardcore toughie, you know, being a woman in her position, all that stuff, right? I mean...
Which is a great image, by the way. I mean, you know, more women should be empowered to do that. I mean...
But she was a flirt.
Right.
She's not.
Right.
Then would you have international... Whoever shows up to number 10 Downing Street, she's like flirting with them. I mean, she's playing. She doesn't need to, you know. She's in a position of power here.
Well, I'm sure that she was calling Chippendales to go and...
So when you say dominatrix, I don't think she needs to call anybody. You know,
entertain her a little bit. Oh, by the way, folks, the phone number here is 407-646-2915. We are taking calls. Jump in if you want to ask questions about anything. Hey...
I shouldn't say make a statement
because I'll push that dump button right away or the censor button.
Make a statement. Just say anything as preposterous and radical as you want. Just don't use the traditional words that are
that a band, exactly. And by the way, Fox Fest this weekend, this is the big hurrah for WPRK in Sandsburg. They're going to have, or I should say we're going to have, a bunch of bands. And starting off with the Bright Light Social Hour, the Jacuzzi Boys, Levesque. Sarcastic one. Yeah, I can't pronounce that name. They're going to have
Canada,
two.
Isn't it?
It sounds like Canadian.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
It's
obviously a native name.
The Groove Orient and Girls on the Beach, which they're probably still at the beach anyway. And your WPRK DJs, which, by the way, there is a special appearance by Mr. Catnip. And he told me to tell all of you that he's going to be playing a chill set. But for those of you who are hardcore into his night show, which airs actually tonight, for those of you on the West Coast, at 11 o'clock p.m., and for those of us here in the East Coast, at 1 a.m., which is actually Saturday. But if you are partying and getting totally trashed and you get home by 12, go ahead and tune on the station before you pass out, because he will keep you awake. And he told me to say this to all of you out there, all his fans. If you want drum and bass, all you have to do is start shouting out within the crowd, drum and bass. So, divvied it up, and you know, what can I say? I'm just following his orders, and that's basically it, folks. You definitely have to show up, because, by the way, there's free beer, which is
that doesn't happen every
provided
day.
By the shipyard, so it's not like we're brewing it in the basement here.
But it's an
like
open
that.
Brew, which is nice.
Right, right. No, it's community, and of course, it's all Winter Park, and you know, everybody else from the rest of the region can come and join us too, because we're all one big happy family here.
I'm almost sold. I mean, I might actually drag my sorry antique rear, maybe take the family or
right.
something, come out.
You know, and, you know, of course, there's going to be all sorts of people here. The Rastafarians are going to be doing their thing. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen here on the Rollins College Green. Or
Irie.
Yeah, Irie. Rastafari. Yes. So, Dr. Balak, let's get on topic here before we...
Yeah, before Jesse gets all, like, hateful on poor old
Maggie. You mean Tiberius Stark. Yeah, Jesse's not here today.
Tiberius Stark. Yeah, Tiberius is a great name.
Strong name, isn't it?
Tiberius is... Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome name.
Good name. I mean, such a messed up emperor, but in an interesting way. And then,
exactly.
And then, of course, there's Captain Kirk.
You know, Captain Kirk. And, you know, well, it's actually Stark. So, I mean, Stark comes from Iron Man, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I am woefully ignorant. I have to still do much of my homework, though Julian Chambliss, professor here, trying to keys me in a little bit on Facebook and on our occasional meetings like that.
Yeah, so Tiberius is actually from Captain
superheroes.
Kirk.
I really don't know all that world very well at all. I know other comic traditions, but you know, it's funny how there's still divisions, or at least some remain.
So...
Yeah, okay, so what about this Maggie thing? I mean, so what do I want to say? So you kind of we were honest with we try always be there. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the big I didn't can't say that they had a big celebration, but you know, I was like, oh, when I saw the Brits and the popular way in which it bubbled out, first the first 24 hours of solemnity of how many statues and buildings and parks and entire swaths of London shall we name after her, how big of a state funeral. She's bigger than a queen. Oh, she's bigger than two queens. You know? I mean, they just got off and off about the greatest person.
Actually, I think she was a drag queen.
So. Saying, you know, canonized, you know, turned into the saint of all, blah, blah, blah. And slowly but surely, bits and pieces, talk shows, comedians, you know, celebrities,
jugglers.
People in the streets, were starting to, wait a minute. This is the evil queen.
Exactly.
This is, you know, 80% of British people hate her guts.
Mm-hmm.
They remember going without milk. Yeah,
right.
Milk snatcher. You know, in the 80s.
No work.
They remember no work for years. They remember winters without heating. Though it has to be said, just to, that was, you know, the unions did it in some sense.
Right.
Because they were pushed to the point where they didn't have a paycheck for months. They were literally hungry, starving. She was not budging an inch.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, I'll negotiate from a position of power. It's like, you are my...
Right, exactly.
You know, get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, You know, I mean, she was like the scary one, you know? I mean, if an older generation, maybe for them it was some Soviet, you know? For many Americans, it was Ronald Reagan. And we should keep the Ronald Reagan thing because, you know, he's been deified. The man is, you know, indicted on multiple war crimes.
Right.
You know, I mean, like him or not, it's something you got to deal with. He presided, but like Maggie Thatcher too, you know, over extremely, you know, millions of deaths. You know, now, was it necessary? Like Maggie Thatcher, is her favorite excuse? Just no other option? Okay, but the ethics still plays, you know? So show me why we had to do that. Show me why you had to destroy, you know, lower the real wages of the majority of British people forever and still today. You know, it's a tricky business. And then there's the double duplicity, too, we had a show on Hugo Chavez, right?
There
was absolutely no problem. Everybody was gloating. The entire mainstream press, the vast majority of politicians, was barely, not that they were dancing and doing shots in the streets, waving signs, the witch is dead, and singing
the
song. No. But in another mode of expression, they were all taking the biggest party of the month in America was all about Hugo Chavez's death, you know, or making fun of those crying. Remember how, oh, look at the kind of personality. The entire nation is crying. Well, because the majority of Venezuelans, and yes, we've discussed it, I know many are unhappy, typically the richer ones.
Right.
But he has mass, and I understand, you know, if I was a middle-class, upper-middle-class, upper-class person in Venezuela. Ooh, you know?
Right.
I think, in the show that I had a student parent, very wealthy, very, you know, like, Chavez is a catastrophe for me. I have to exile from my country. But, and I quote him, nameless, because, we had it coming.
Right.
We should have anticipated it.
Right.
We should have had reforms. We shouldn't have stopped crushing the bottom 99% with glee.
Right.
So which, that was wonderful honesty, you know, to look. And that was her. She was one of the main people, and Reagan deserves a spot at her, you know, as her junior officer, that changed the world to the state in which it is.
Right.
You know, but when they took power, we had, you know, 3-5% a year growth rate, you know. We had rising real wages for everybody. I mean, the rich were getting richer, but the poor were getting not poorer and slightly less poor, you know, before they took power, right? We had world-class infrastructure. Well, not the Brits, you know, but America, you know. All of those wonderful things we kind of think about, the success story, American capitalism at its apex, the high point, you know?
Right.
And then Thatcher and Reagan came in. I put out there, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not. I've been saying it for many years now, and history will judge, and I'm not alone, I mean, you know, no, it's a big deal. History will judge the rise of the new conservatives of the 80s to be distinguished from the neoconservatives kind of the 90s. That's kind of another phenomenon. So Thatcher, Reagan, so many people look at them as the golden age in some sense. First of all, I don't know what
right.
They mean.
Golden age for who?
Yes, exactly. The question, the golden age for who, is absolutely critical. If all that austerity for 30 years will eventually yield a, you know,
the trickle-down economics.
Lean and mean capitalist system other than the bloated and slow union-oriented worker-led world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for that lean and mean, you know. Show me the leanness and meanness in any other metric but the private profit of the top 1%.
Right.
Show me a number that makes us look good. One number as compared to the 70s. It's all downhill. And these guys were in charge. Now, I know the tradition today in all levels of authority is to take no responsibility and blame the guy beneath you.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
one of the reasons why we're failing.
And that is usually the tactic that most corporations use is, you know, blame the little guy.
At this point, it's like, who doesn't? You know, you'd be hard-pressed to find a leader that actually takes responsibility.
Right.
You know, you'd be
right.
Very hard-pressed. It's against the culture. It's against the tradition. They don't teach it that way, you know?
But in all fairness, I personally think that Ronald Reagan was not really spilling out all this. I think he was listening to his co-actor, Bonzo the Chimpanzee, because, you know, he had Alzheimer's.
That's the real.
So he probably was maybe hearing voices or something like that. Well, I mean, that disease starts very slowly. So he had it for many years. And I'm saying that from experience because my dad has Alzheimer's, unfortunately, and I'm predisposed for it, too. But the truth of the matter is, Reagan was a horrible actor. He was a horrible president, by all counts, at least in the opinion of this humble person. Of course, I belong to a different social status.
In a vast majoritarian view of the world, I mean, people are talking about globalization. Our college here has a mission to internationalize. I mean, you know, American politics lies in the very right. You know, what we call, you know, progressive Democrats, the leftiest of Democrats, would be barely center, slightly leaning to the left, barely. And in fact, probably be in the right wing in most parts of the world. So we have to just realize, I tell my students, you know, whether it is because you want to understand the rest of the world or because you want to conquer it and rule it with a heavy hand, you better know what you're talking about.
Right, exactly.
Right? So you need to understand where other people coming from, whatever your ethics are afterwards. I mean, that's why we screw up so much stuff,
right, by the way, too.
Wouldn't it be nice if Americans knew about Shia and Sunni, you know, before invading Iraq? You know?
Right.
Well, you know, guess what? Anybody who has a basic education or knows anything about the world of Islam, the world of, and many CIA, maybe that's why they were saying, don't go in, as almost universally they were the experts.
And if I may, on a serious note here, I was at a conference at UCF earlier this week, and there was a couple of economists there, and of course I was actually texting you.
Yeah, you
texted
me some help.
And so they were talking about each economic superpower, and all of a sudden they decided that we're going to talk about the Middle East. And one spokesperson, and I think that a few of us just wanted to toss our coffee cups at him, was saying that, well, you know, people in the Middle East, you know, there's no women leaders and, you know, they're all being oppressed. And basically they were saying that, you know, all Middle Easterns, you know, are like third world mentality, you know, hate women and all that. And the thing is, every single country on the face of the planet has done wrong to women's rights, you know, and everybody has gotten the wrong end of the stick.
Americans probably don't know how far they lag behind all the other
exactly. And that's what I want to say is that we're really nobody to be pointing fingers, because we've had our own history of oppression, you know.
Massive.
Of course, our people are massive. So, you know, hopefully the person that was spilling that negativity out there towards all these cultures is listening to this program and decide to correct themselves and educate themselves what the issues are and what's going on.
Because
personally, I found it offensive. I'm not a Muslim or from that place.
Offensive.
But I found it offensive as a minority, as somebody who's for women's rights, that somebody in this age and intellectual academia is saying some absurdity like that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a good thing that you didn't go.
Good for you, Oh, yeah, because I do get belligerent with my mouth. I'm not violent physically, but I...
Well, and there wouldn't have been nobody. There wouldn't have been nobody to hold you, because I probably would have jumped on the stage with you and strangled this person.
No, you know, sometimes it's better to just let them talk, or at least to explain to people why is this, you know, white supremacist, you know, hate. And actually, you know what? You're saying this, it's violent hate. By the way, that's one of the things, right? So when you see a couple of, you know, blacks, young blacks from Brixton, you know, who have, from their grandmother was already, you know, brutalized by the police under Maggie Thatcher. You know, we should play Guns of Brixton today, man.
Absolutely.
Best songs ever, The Clash, Guns of Brixton.
Absolutely.
It is about the Maggie Thatcher. I mean, we should actually, maybe, you know, we maybe do some more. There's all the 80s, you know, new wave is this songs about Maggie. I mean,
You know, I got to say, we have to give thanks to these dictators and world oppressors, because without them, we wouldn't have a show.
I prefer, you know, to listen to
and, of course,
music.
I'm sure the comedians out there are probably saying, you know, we need lots of them so we can poke fun at them.
If I could listen to Justin, you know, all day long, you know, and get rid of these... I'd listen. I'd do it to myself. You know, it's kind of a form of, you know, self-mutilation, I suppose. To listen. Well, sorry, nothing personal, buddy. It's just not my taste. Okay. Yeah. Well, the violence of it, right? So, how vulgar, right? Look at them. They're partying. They're saying, "Oh, the witch is dead." They're giggling. That's just so vile. But what about the violence? You know, if somebody came around and you know, took your grandmother's job and cut her milk allocation so that your mother didn't get enough food and was crying all the time, you know, and you're fourth generation unemployed in the industrial region. A lot of Americans now, that sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not listening to this radio, probably camping out somewhere in an orange grove, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So sadly, I'm not talking to them, but if you happen to be there, you know, it's not, you know. But, you know, it's personal. Inflicting poverty on people is violent and personal. I've had some discussions about that. But no, we think of violence. This comes from a long tradition, by the way, of thinkers for several centuries, probably, maybe explicitly a little less. Think about these things for a second. You know, what is being perpetrated against you? But we are told incorrectly that no, it's in a vacuum. Actually, not incorrectly, I mean, maliciously and lying, I would say. You
strategically,
know?
Actually.
And the academic elites are just as rotten as any other elites. Let's get off our, I don't know what, our podium, our ivory tower. We just love, oh, we're academics. We seek the truth. Please, you know? Just we're people like any other people, and many, and we're susceptible to corruption like any other. And there is a mechanism, which is part of the Thatcher movement in the 70s.
Right.
That, why do you think, you know, we have so many think tanks and institutions and they are corporate funded and they are 99% hard right? All of those think tanks, there's like two that aren't extreme right wing in some sense. Now, we need extreme right wing. I'm not meaning Nazis here. We have those too. Yeah?
But, right. But
I'm talking about, like, you know, Austrian economics, you know, hardcore conservative on the economy. And they're important, you know, they're important. I read them regularly and stuff. And some of them are not corrupt. Many of them are. I mean, I got to tell you, you know, a lot of academics in economics, you know, you sit around and if you happen to be justifying, you know, believing honestly in, like, you know, let's for an simple example, the deregulation, right? The mass deregulation, part and parcel of Thatcher, Reagan, etc., right? Deregulation of the banks, we saw it through. By the way, Democrats settled down. You know, Clinton did more than Bush, actually, in these insane financial deregulations, right? And he, like Obama, not as effectively liked to use the excuse, Republicans made me do it, which is pretty pathetic. Yeah? Oh, please. And that's the whole, like, sequester. Remember, we have a show on the whole, like, fiscal cliff and stuff and how it's a complete trap, a complete scam, a media operation. Well, I don't know if you're paying attention to the sequester and stuff. And at the end, we will get from Obama a radical right-wing Ronald Reagan wouldn't dare. I honestly think Ronald Reagan wouldn't dare do what this guy is doing. I repeat, you know, Obama is to the right of Ronald Reagan in every discernible economic policy.
Here we go, Dr. Ballack.
For better or for worse, that's just kind of fact.
You mentioned something the other day that just raised the hair of the back of my head.
Ooh.
And I really don't have that much hair left, but the interest rates for student loans,
mm-hmm,
for graduate school and all that. Obama,
yeah.
What are you doing?
He's doing his job.
Oh, my God.
Now, you remember the looks I got from all the liberals around when I said, you know what, maybe it's better if Romney wins. He's going to do the same thing, probably even worse. I mean, a little bit more, right? I mean, higher, mm-hmm, volume, right? When Obama's tuning it up to 8, Romney would have tuned it up to 11. If you don't mind the Spinal Tap.
Yeah, exactly. Rock on Spinal Tap.
I think this weekend we're watching Spinal Tap. But it's time. Bah! Can't say it. Spinal Tap, great movie. So, you know, it's such a racket in this sense. But you know, it kind of pushes them on. So now we have to compromise. So yeah, I have to. They won't let me. It's all about delivering a hard right austerity package, which, you know, even most mainstream economists, you don't have to be go radical or anything, you know, or lefty or even moderately liberal. Every mainstream economist knows is just insane. And that's what we did in the Great Depression to turn it from a major financial collapse, one at the end of a long series, by the way, of financial collapses, into a global depression favoring, you know, a couple of world wars and a lot of other lovely stuff. You know, maybe we wouldn't have, you know, the Nazis rise to power if we didn't have the Great
that
Depression.
Not happened,
but we did
right.
Everything, you know, and now the funny thing is the most conservative macroeconomist George W. Bush could find on planet Earth, our current Fed, that is qualified, because actually there's a whole cottage industry of unqualified, ridiculous right-wing economists out there.
What did they call him in England, Bumbling Bush?
Well, bumbling. I mean, that's one of the things I always from the start, just like Sarah Palin, you know, you liberals are laughing at them.
Right.
Well, guess who's
Right, yeah, exactly.
Laughing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole, you know, think tank structure that I'm talking about, I mean, people don't realize, you know, if I all of a sudden start getting to be like partisan, like, oh, deregulate, let's have, we need more tar sand oils, drill baby, it's actually, you know, deregulate the banks, well, actually, that's the best thing to do right now, if there's anything left to deregulate.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. You know, if I assume a kind of a hard right Koch brothers type of, the fake Tea Party, because remember, I always say, you know, you guys need to come up with a better name, you know, the real right-wingers,
right,
the conservatives
right.
that are not being duped by lobbyists that call themselves Tea Partiers, you know, those guys. My brother's on the hard right, if I have to channel Cornel West here a little bit, in style at least, but I really think it's important we get together because we know what's the problem, essentially. We agree. We don't agree on what the solutions are, but okay, you know, let's deal with our problems and then figure out a way we can argue and have a democracy, and if you win and we go hard right, I'm with you.
That is a good start. I mean, you know, you don't have the solutions, but if you open it up and discuss it, even though everybody
but
has
everybody
some disagreement,
rolls their eyes, you know, when you say that. No, you have to go out within the parties, either parties, and I think that's precisely highly debilitating. Oh dear, where were we? You know, when I have guests, we have somebody to, like, you know, keep me in semi-coherent, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're dealing with a lunatic
here,
so. I want
to get back to that violence, you know, the violence of poverty, you know, and people who've been poor know. But people who haven't don't. So, you know, that's where academics like me, you know, come around. I mean, we read what they have to say. We read what people studied. We do our homework is all we do, you know. We're not cleverer than anybody else. We have particular skills in this particular line of work, sure, you know. You got hope. We like it, whatever it is. But that's really what we do. We do the homework. So okay, all these people hating Maggie Thatcher. Why, you know? You find out. And the controversy... What about this bourgeois in the sense of the pejorative sense, not the middle class? You know, mm-hmm. What do you call it today? Bougie, right?
Bougie, right.
Urban Dictionary with me at all times. You mustn't mock. I just want to present a position that a lot of people have, you know, that you don't hear. You know, you mock. So to have a party in Brixton, bad taste, right? Well, you know, it's personal. It just hurt me personally, you know. Not so much me personally, because right. I was fortunate to be born in the... Well, yes, because I was born in upper middle class. I am now middle class. And chances are my kids will be poor.
Right.
You know, I'm doing everything I can to make sure. But we have massive downward mobility in America mm-hmm. today and in all the Western world. Because, again, don't think Europe is much different. Certainly Britain isn't and the rest of it isn't. They have 70% Republicans, if you will.
Right,
the
right,
overall
right.
rulership of Europe. So, you know, there's this notion that somehow Europe is this social democratic paradise.
I know. Well, I mean, people want to live in fantasy. I mean, that's what I find. So.
Yeah, well, you know, but I say if you want to live in fantasy, then you know, read fiction, play video games, watch movies. I highly encourage it.
Exactly.
But don't mix your fantasy with your politics if you can help it. But, of course, there's the entire dedication... Let me give drop a reference. Wonderful fiction book. Great American author, Philip K. Dick.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Blade Runner. Important. Blade Runner was inspired by his books. Many other movies, you wouldn't believe how many movies, actually, sci-fi movies and all that, like, what, Minority Report? Or,
yes.
You know, and other, Scanners, you can go on. And they don't do justice to his literature in these kind of, you know, you read it in 24-hour kind of book. He wrote them in 24 hours. The Penultimate Truth. The Penultimate Truth is all about a world in which the World War starts. All the people basically go down underground because of atomic, right? Mm-hmm. Weapons is 70s literature, right? And they work on the war effort, you know? The people are in factories making war robots, you know? What have you, right? Underground, all in underground cities and everything. Well, eventually somebody gets lost, escapes, and finds out that there was never a war. Out on the surface... live the 0.001% in country-sized haciendas, right? With robotic laborers slaving away because they make sure that the military robot produced underground by the people
right.
are all quickly adjustable to do the work necessary to maintain the leisure life on this beautiful, pristine, forested surface. And of course, then he comes back, tries to... It's precisely the notion of coming back to a people living in a condition under for a couple of generations. They watch, you know, reels from the war, and they're all, it's their entire existence, and a little bit like the Matrix type of star, right?
Right, right,
comes
right,
back
right.
and say, no, it's all a sham. Open your eyes.
Yes, and you know, that's actually,
you know what they do on the surface when they're not hanging out, riding horses, having mint juleps or whatever?
What's that?
Propaganda.
Oh, yes.
They produce the film reels for the people down. That's all they do. They don't produce anything but the brainwashing materials for the bottom. This is Philip K. Dick was a paranoid, like, I haven't been diagnosed because I don't go to a doctor. I'm sure if I went to a shrink, quickly diagnose me as a paranoid, but I don't.
And you know, let me put what you just said in layman terms out there. What Dr. Balick just basically said in so many words, he's using this, which it relates as a metaphor to the Kathy Lee Gifford sweatshops in Asia.
Yeah,
which
we're all great.
For the longest time, we're going like, oh, Kathy Lee Giffords, and all that, until the truth comes out that she's, you know, basically sponsoring that, you know. Right. Well, of course, she says that she had no clue that was going on because, of course, she lives, you know, here in the States, and that's Asia.
I could make a comment I'd make in class. I don't know if I can make on the radio, but without names, you know, some people have accused of very heinous crimes have used that defense of, oh, I didn't know. The best one by a certain... initials are AA, and who was brought to trial in Jerusalem in the 70s, I believe, and hung for his crimes during World War II. He said, I'm a small screw. It's not my fault. I'm a small screw in a big machine.
That's a good one.
The thing is, we're all little small screws in big machines. When do we stop screwing around?
Some of us are just grease.
Yeah, you know, but when do we say, wait a minute, you know, and my hands are bloodied. I didn't choose this, but they are. Mm-hmm. So I need to maybe be proactive to, and we are. I mean, we're interconnected, you know. Every child raped in Congo is, you know, so you trace the buck from that gun with which she was shot in the head. I mean, I want to say this because people aren't aware that the greatest Holocaust in human history is taking place now, and we're involved.
Right now, exactly.
We're involved. Exactly. When I was a kid hearing about the Holocaust, Jewish Holocaust in World War II, I was like, why did nobody care? Why did nobody help us? Now I know, because here I am talking with you on the radio.
Right.
I'm not helping. I mean, so what? Oh, yeah, so I have my lame excuse. Yeah, you're raising awareness at least. Well, thank you, you know?
Right.
But come on, you know, that's not... Where are we starting? We're not even not stopping it. We're involved in it. And electronics, here. There's some Congolese blood in my phone.
Right, right. And that goes to all fairness. I mean, you know, I did mention Kathy Lee, but she's just one small pebble in a big sand, you know. And we all have to take responsibility for what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, myself, I'm a Apple addict. You know, and...
But again, it's a particularly ugly company, a particularly unethical company, yes. But, you know, not much more than others.
Right, right, right. So, I mean,
Leader among in the group, you know.
Yes, we all have to share the blame. The difference here is that most of those guys on the very top refuse to take the blame. They just kind of point at the little guys.
Well, you know, one of the problems that we know, I mean, you know, we were always taught that you can't have capitalism, you can't have democracy. I mean, basically, you need... all three together for this to work, right? Capitalism, democracy, and a middle class. Because if you don't have a middle class, then nobody cares about the quality of the infrastructure. You have private roads or giant SUVs that don't care what the quality of the streets are, right?
And right.
You go to your private schools, you don't care about the state of the education, right? You go to private doctors and you know, entire separate healthcare for the 1%. They don't even go to the same doctors as us, you know?
Right. Forget healthcare. They can afford to just give out the money.
Up cash,
you know?
Yeah, go abroad.
Exactly. Right.
go to
Canada where, you know, where it's a little bit better.
Well, there, you know, just get better. Even if you pay cash, don't think that you can go to Europe and get coverage. They're not stupid, you know,
right,
you're a tourist,
right.
You know. But you can just pay up cash, and it's about the same as your copay around here.
Right.
Anyway, all of that stuff. But you see, I mean, the capitalism works. A market system works when you must have a middle class because they are tempering it. They're not letting the successful take over the company, you know, the country. Whether they're successful, bona fide, or corrupted, you know, which history shows that a lot of our great success stories, no, they didn't do it by themselves.
Exactly.
No, they did it through corruption, et cetera, et cetera.
We
don't even tell the difference between somebody like Steve Jobs, whom I do not like at all, as I've mentioned some really nasty things about him, and you know, but he made stuff.
Right.
Yeah, he's taking way more credit than the engineers in Apple who need more, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he created, at least even if it's a spurious, shiny PR thing, he created it. He gave, you know. And then people like, I just said that he should have, I prefer if he won the election maybe, you know, that Romney, you know, who did his entire career on destruction. I mean, this notion he's a good businessman. Well, with more of those, we'll have even less jobs and lower wages, you know. And Maggie wasn't shy about it.
Let's go back to Maggie.
She wasn't shy. She said, yeah, it's painful. It's difficult, but it's absolutely necessary. There's no other option. I mean, I'm convinced that this is necessary medicine. We're going to cut your legs off, but otherwise gangrene will take over. You have to.
And that's why I call it a dominatrix.
Well, you know, and many people still think it may have been the case because it was quite a mess. But others would say that the mess was precisely the labor struggle, you know? I mean, realize that, you know, we've been, I think in America, right, we've been convinced that for the majority of us that if we get higher wages, you know, a little bit of a bigger paycheck, that's a bad thing.
Right, I know. I don't understand that concept. It's almost like they've brainwashed the American public, the American worker, to believe that any progress in pay is going to hurt your benefactor, the one that's giving you the employment.
Creator.
And you're supposed to shed tears of blood for these people. You know, the truth of the matter is, you just take it down basic business. When they have a product, they do a markup that's three times higher than what they purchased the product. So, in essence, they can afford to give the worker a little raise.
You know, the famous wedge graph, which is a fact. Now, whether you want to, how you want to interpret it, it's your problem, you know, but real wages overall in America, it becomes horrific if you look at the bottom 50%, not just the poor, yeah, have gone down since 70. That's one of those metrics, like I said, nothing but private profits has gone up.
Right.
Since Maggie and her ilk took control of the world.
You know, if you notice, though, that even with all the profits in Wall Street, which record profits, you know, in history, supposedly, and you might correct me on that because you are the expert, but they're still whining that we still have to do more cuts, but they're not cutting out of their paycheck. I mean, they're trying to take it out of us poor people.
I wish that people would read the like Adam Smith and John Law. I mean, all these people of the 16th and 17th century, the fathers of capitalism, market system, liberal democracy, all of those things that we see. I mean, you know, liberal democracy is a technical term. In America, liberal means social democratic. So the term in political science, liberal democracy, is kind of free market democracy.
That's
what we're talking about here. Well, like I said, history will, I believe, and many, you know, believe like me, will show that the irony is that those who yelled it the loudest dismantled the very thing that they were supposed to support, you know? But yeah, you're right. I mean, but people aren't aware of it. So, like I said, the wedge graph, profits have gone up, you know, since the bailout, which indirectly altogether is probably about $12 trillion, if you wonder why we're broke.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And went to private pockets, a few tens of thousands of people, got it all. Many foreigners, by the way. I'm a bit of a cosmopolitan, you know, and not the drink, not the magazine. My brothers and sisters are all over the planet. I don't love one nation more than another. But if you're not, if you're more of a nationalist than me, you might be concerned with the trillions of your taxpayer money going to Swiss banks and British banks and French banks,
etc. Which, by the way...
Because it's not about countries.
Right.
The bankers understand each other.
Right.
It's a class.
It's a family.
When you're so, I mean, when you're so separate from the world, you eventually lose touch, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
They say that that's why Romney lost, essentially, right? That's what the experts, the Republican experts say, that he was too out of touch with the people and it was too obvious. Right.
Right.
Fine. And they're probably right about it, I guess. I'm no expert on that. But you do lose it, you know? You think about the pre-revolutionary France, you know? If they don't have bread, my majesty, the people are starving, they have no bread. If they have no bread, why don't they eat cake?
Right, you know? Exactly.
So, I mean, was that like a really funny, dark humor?
We can't even afford cake here in the U.S. right now, those of us who work for a living.
The numbers are horrendous, yet somehow, both, by the way, note the degree of, I mean, you could, if Orwell wrote this for 1984, I mean, they wouldn't believe, because all those books, you know, you had to have a police state to keep you down like this.
Right.
Here, we're kind of voluntary.
No, it is.
Oh, please beat me up, Mr. Policeman. You know, I think I need a thrashing.
It's like what Malcolm X said back then, it's like the chickens coming home to roost. Mm. basically, in a nutshell.
But, you know, that's the propaganda. That's the control mechanism. That's the education system that, of course, I realize we'll never get to it. I need to get organized on education reform and stuff and economics, and I'll even share what we do here, which is pretty unique, and we're proud about it, and we realize a lot of people don't even realize, except for our students.
Right.
So we'll get there. So we kind of stuck around this whole attitude towards Thatcher and stuff. That's okay, and we didn't, like, go into the details of what she did, and it's surely arguable. So, I mean, I hear people maybe saying, like, wait a minute, I'm, like, a conservative, and I think she saved the world. I think she was right. I think it was necessary to break the unions. It was harsh medicine for the people of Britain. They were in rapid decline, and, you know, they have a case. I disagree, but they have a case.
Sure.
But that's the. I want to go kind of to the big the stuff that we never question, right? Like the violence of poverty, that that you don't find yourself randomly in poverty, right? Our discourse, I talked about in class yesterday, our discourse is kind of split into two, essentially. Those who say, kind of the lefties, if you will, liberals, whatever, right, who say, these people are poor because of no opportunity, bad luck.
And they're lazy, which is usually what I hear.
And then the right-wingers, sadly, I mean, well, you know, the bad right, the evil right-wingers, they're not the good right-wingers. I got to make that funny. Okay. I know, evil, good, I mean, it's a silly vocabulary, but you know, why not? Like I said, a better one is maybe the conservatives or Austrians, we say in economics, because of vagrancies of history. Or the Chamber of Commerce Austria, and it's kind of the in-joke for her. Those are the corrupt ones. Those are the ones who talk the talk and get positions on boards that double their salaries. So, you know, I mean, it's probably too late for me, thanks to Google. Thank you, Google. But if I went out of grad school and started talking about deregulation and job creators and trickle down, I think the quality of the faculty at Rollins College would mean that I wouldn't get a job here. So let's give it, you know, because we only hire people who do the homework and
get serious degrees
and publish and, you know, have some credibility. But my salary would be way higher. I'd be in some less prestigious school, possibly, or very prestigious school. Look at Chicago. They're wrong about everything. They haven't been right about the weather, you know, nothing. For decades, and they still rule in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm,
they get paid directly from corporations, you know, and government and what have you, to write what they want to write. You don't get orders. But so long as you talk the talk, the checks arrive.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, let's open that up a little bit and understand, why do you have all these, like, even so, on TV, you never see economists. You see pundits.
Right.
You don't even see conservative Chicago economists. You don't see them on TV. Because even they, while hardcore tools, and I do single out Chicago, sorry about it, you know?
Yeah, take note.
You have your record, you have your reputation, you know, collected to Thatcher, by the way. Before she was even elected, you know, her support for the dictator Pinochet in Chile was just like America. Or the support for the racist apartheid regime in South Africa in keeping Nelson Mandela, the communist terrorist, in jail.
Her terms.
And all conservatives in America, too, by the way, just so you know.
Right.
Just so you know.
Oh, here comes the radicals.
Relief.
Fight Back Fridays already ganging up on us here.
So listen, I think we tried to be reasonable about Maggie's death, and we didn't break out in song.
No, actually, I do have the song, and we want to dedicate this one in particular to all you right-wing conservative...
What, Brixen?
Reaganomics. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, cool. Not the
Reagan lovers, whatever. Margaret Thatcher, you know, slave, whatever. But here you go, folks. Remember Fox Fest this weekend? Remember the Organic Catnip Show tonight with Mr. Catnip? He will be doing a special appearance at the Fox Fest.
Despite suffering from multiple personalities?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, I mean, hey, he's a psych major. They're all psychopaths.
You have to be a little crazy to be psych.
Right. You have to understand the nature of the beast. Anyway, I got a gun to my head here by the Fight Back Friday guys. Yep, fight back. But here you go, guys. The Guns of Brixton. Here you go, Margaret. This is just for you.
gonna come with your hands on your head or on the trigger of your gun. When the law break in, how are you gonna go? Shut down on the pavement or waiting in the pool. You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you'll have to answer too. Your life, you like it well, but surely a time will come, as in heaven, as in hell. You can crush us, you can bruise us, but you'll have to answer soon.